Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we're Champion Chat 360.
360. Today we're going to go back to the body. Ooh, the body.
People could see you right now.
I'm actually like dressed, have a dress on. I showered, I got a little makeup on. It's kind of one of those days you just want to get outside and do something because it's not too hot or too cold. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to talk all about the body, and I think it's one of the good parts. I know for sure, amazing part.
I don't know, girlfriend, looking at one of your photos today, and I thought, what the fuck? How does one get that?
What? Well, we'll talk about it today. So we're going to talk about butt stuff. You dirty-minded girls. Butt stuff.
I love butt. Mm-hmm. I love lots of butt.
Big old booty.
It's probably one of the things that I definitely am. Matt has to always, this is my talk about this another time, but Matt's always like, do you have lesbian tendencies?
Yes. Like,
honestly, if someone has a nice ass, I may try them out and I may get roused. I'm mm-hmm. just saying. It's one of those things.
I'm either looking at puppies or butts. On Instagram, so whatever. Now maybe babies too, but puppies, butts, and babies, you know, whatever.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. It works.
That's it. Who likes BBP? You know me. I like some BBP. Okay. Let's get serious here. So let's talk a little bit, just real quick, about the anatomy of the butt. Most people who are living, because the butt is everything. It's been, what, maybe like 5 years, maybe 10 years at most, that the butt's been like the thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, used to be like boobs or whatever, and now it's butt. So, we have three muscles in our derriere that are actually in our derriere. And then there's all kinds of muscles that are above and below that are important when you're going to be doing workout. So, everyone knows the glute maximus. So, we'll go from outside in. So, glute maximus is the biggest muscle in your whole body. It's the most dense. It's the biggest. I don't care if you have a small ass or a big ass. It's the one that has the most power. Mm-hmm. Its purpose is to help you stand up, basically. It's to move the hip complex and the femur. What is another fun fact that we can say that makes it easier to remember about the glutes? Oh, it's why we stand upright, believe it or not. So in our glutes are designed, the flare that they do is what separates like chimpanzees that don't always stand upright as much as because ours are just shaped slightly differently.
Oh, interesting. I didn't mm-hmm. know that.
And then we have the glute medius. If you put your hands on your butt and like right at your hips, probably right about where your underwear are, and you have like your elbows kind of flare back like a chicken wing, almost like you're in a chicken wing, so on your butt, that's where your middle miss is. Middle. M-E-D-I-U-S. So, what does that do? That's going to do extension. It supports the head of the femur. In the hip complex, so in your hips. So that's why kickbacks and any kind of band walks, and we'll talk all about that kind of stuff in a second, are important to do. And also depends on studies. Some say range of motions for squat, hip thrusters, things like that are going to help that area, but you have to do both. You have to work those two together. A lot of people in the past have only worked the lower part.
Yeah.
Which is what you would think of as the glute maximus. The last part is the minimus, which is the smallest muscle, which if you ever get like a Charlie horse when you're posing, I know I get it right there. So if you put it on the side of your butt, so if you're standing straight sideways, put your hands right probably where your underwear line is on the sides, that's where your minimus, the smallest muscle. It's very, very small. It literally just is from the hip to the top of your femur. So your ball and hinge socket area. They'll look up to that area, not exactly to it, but right around it. So, what does that do? Think about where it is. In space, it puts the leg mostly adduction, abduction. You think ad goes to the midline, ab, so ab's absent from class, takes away from the midline. It's one of the ways you kind of...
That's work. A good way to think about it. I always think ad. I don't want to add to my inner thigh. And my ab has B in it, so it's my butt, closer to my butt.
There you go. I like it. So, but I think, I don't know what the Latin is behind it, but I don't know if it's because everything goes to the midline. So a line straight down your nose, all the way down your pubic bone, down your feet. That's kind of your midline, and that's where things are coming and going away from. So whether they're extending or if they're adduction, abduction, so flexing, extending, that's mostly where they're coming from. So now that we've got all that science, yada, 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 why don't we talk about what is some of your aha moments that you had with your glutes, learning them? Because I know when I was learning them, it's just body parts. Oh, as I got more into it, I was like, oh, that clicks.
Funny is I not a lot of people can activate their glutes, and that is like a hard, I think with posing, that's something that I try to teach women too, because when you say flex your glutes, a lot of people squeeze in, like they clench their butt cheeks together, which I guess is a form of flexing your glutes, right? But when I tell them I need you to kind of lift up your glutes, like lift them up, and I'll be like, visualize this, like I have a string attached to your butt and I'm lifting it up. And that's hard for a lot of people to have that like mind body connection. That is one thing that I was able to establish. And another thing to solely activate your glutes, and I recently did this, but like the bird dog,
Yes.
and for it's a yoga move, but it's also just a exercise core move,
It's a
glute move.
basic, yeah.
All fours, say you extend your left leg up straight and then your right arm up straight. Another way to do this is to, so you lay down, you kneel down, belly on your knees, arms extended forward, extend one leg back. So your belly is still on your leg, almost like a hip flexor stretch, but now try elevating the leg that is straight out.
Nice.
So that is only your glute.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why that would work so well is because you're already in extreme range of motion of flexion of your glute, so you can't, and a lot of people will use their glute. That's a really good one, Danica. I've never, see, this is one thing that's great. I've never used that. And then if you extend your leg though, it's already extended, and the only way to lift will be with that glute minimus or that glute medius. So that's really good.
Yeah, that's one of my, to activate my glutes. Like that's one of my favorite ones to like, and also doing, so not a lot of people do like fire hydrant stuff or, but warming up your glutes to before, and I never realized this either. Like I was like, I'm just gonna squat and I'm gonna do kickbacks with like weights and I'm totally gonna hit it. But I was hitting like my lower back. It wasn't really activating my glutes. For me, I know that something that I learned is I have to warm up my glutes first, kind of fire them up, and then go through exercises.
That's a good point. So let's kind of go down that road too. A lot of people do this, all these movements wrong. So let's talk about that kickback that they do wrong, and then I'll kind of go into how I learned how to communicate with not only myself but to my clients, and I'll tell you one of my things that I learned. So the things like the kickbacks and fire hydrants and everything, people are really trying to, and even their squats and their deadlifts, the starting and the end, they're getting all the motion from their spine. So they're not hinging, but they're flexing. And you really want to hinge. The hip motion, it hinges for the glutes, or it's external, or legs out, in and out. So think of folding yourself in half like a door hinge, or moving your legs in and out like a starfish or something like that, like you're making a snow angel. So one of the ways that I learned how, because for many years I was very what I would call quad dominant, and I think a lot of females are naturally quad dominant. Depends on your leverage of your leg and everything, but we won't get into that stuff. That's more yada yada yada. But I would always use my quads when I squatted, and I never really felt my glutes. I could never get my glutes fire either until I did Pilates, and Pilates helped me with what they call the heel to seat connection. So even if you do those kickbacks, or even you do the band walks, which I highly recommend as well, like Danica was saying, we'll talk about that in a second too, some exercises that we love. If you can push your heel into the ground, even if you're sitting down, you can push your heel into the ground, you'll feel your glute flex. because you're flexing the whole posterior chain of your lower body, basically. And by pushing your heel, that's where you're going to feel the most usage out of your glutes. So when you take that, and we call it, in Pilates, we call it shape and space. So nothing is completely different. It's just in a different shape or space. Does that make sense? So in Pilates, it's a lot of laying down, or you do push to stand up, but a lot of it, you have to push through your heels. If you're standing up, you have to push through your heels when you do a squat to activate the glutes more likely, and a lunge, which I think I've talked about before, is that the people do lunges terribly wrong, and they feel them just in their quads, and they never feel them in their glutes, because they're not pushing their heel into the ground. They're using their toes, and they're taking their heels off the ground. So my one thing that I really have people focus on is pushing their heels into the ground with every exercise I do. And then the last part of it, so that's the lower part of the chain, I think the upper part, is when you come up and finish any of your exercises, so there's no flexion in your back, like you were talking about how when you're a baby trainer, you're like, oh, I feel this, but I feel it in my back. I don't know how that's making my butt bigger.
Right.
maybe my waist is getting really small. But instead of getting that flexion from the spine, thinking of like a bad dog. So what does your bad dog do? It tucks its tail underneath its legs. Yep. So you've got to tuck your tail, not arch your back to finish the movement. So it's tucking the tail as you press the heels. That's how a good way to activate it. And then, as Danica said, get them warmed up. So if you know how to get them activated, you've got them activated with the band walk, which is I highly recommend too. Whether it's a monster one where it's a long band, you put your feet in and you kind of walk side to side like you're Frankenstein, or the loop ones that you can wrap around your legs and just kind of do like a funny looking duck walk or anything like that. Duck walks are a little bit more seated. What's another? Cat dogs. I call them cat dogs. Fire hydrants, bird dogs. So look like, get on all fours, lift your leg up as high as you can without leaning to the other side, meaning don't let your body move away from that knee to hip underneath each other, 90 degrees at all your joints. So you probably don't have to go very high. I guess that's my other point with the glutes and stuff, is that you don't need this huge motion.
Right.
I mean, you can just do a little pulse and you can be like, oh, there's a booty.
And you don't need a lot of weight.
No, it's got so many little pulls. So the sliding filament theory is how the muscles pull and how they get stronger. So think of it like this. You have your one finger, take, what is this, your pointer finger, and your other pointer finger, and put them underneath each other like they're going the opposite way.
Yeah.
And then the sliding filament theory is you move those fingers like they're going to make like a 69, almost like a dirty little 69. I don't know. What is that? What would you call this? Like,
oh, that's like the 69.
Yeah, it's like the 69 sign or the crab sign, right? So they lock onto each other because they shorten. And then when you extend, they tear and then they create more. So your butt already has a whole bunch of them.
Okay, yeah.
So just moving it, even that little bit, will help those little bit more tears. But that's how I get people to think of the sliding filament theory.
Like a 69er.
Like a 69er. I'm sorry if we offended people already, but the title of this is butt stuff, so you looked at it and you're like, oh, hey, yes, I want to know what they're talking about. Got what it is, how to activate it, some of our favorite starters. So what is some of your favorite movements that just get you all heated?
I love hip thrusts.
Yeah,
I do. They're uncomfortable, but I like single leg hip thrust with my back on a bench.
Mm-hmm.
You're making sure everything is supported. Your neck is supported, your shoulder blades are supported, and then kind of from, I would say maybe from your lats down or even right underneath your shoulder blades down is not supported, letting them go down, but I'm not sinking. My core is still tight the whole entire movement, and then I'm keeping my toe elevated.
Yep.
So toe elevated, only driving forces from my heel, and then thrusting upward. Every time, though, I want to make sure that I'm getting a tight squeeze at the top, and I put my hand right on my ass cheek to make sure that it's my ass cheek, and it's not just my lower back. So a lot of people will start to do these, and then they'll be like, what do I do with my hands? I don't know. Grab an ass cheek. You can grab an ass cheek, or you can just crisscross them on your chest. So I have people crisscross them on their chest. Just put them up on your, you can hold your shoulders if you want to. You're like a table and you're going, dropping down, thrusting up, dropping down, thrusting up. Nice. That's probably one of my favorites. Those are probably one of my favorite though. And it doesn't require weight. I mean, you can do it with weight. I suggest making sure that you use both legs. The reason why I like to do unilateral exercises is because sometimes I feel as though one side is a little bit stronger than the other. So I want to make sure that I'm not favoring one side. And I think that my right butt cheek is just like a little like lazy. To be honest, it needs to just work on its own. It can't like partner up and be like, dude, left side, you really need to, come on, yeah, carry me through this.
Yeah, literally. I will add to that a sumo squat with the Smith machine. A sumo, I guess technically it'd be a deadlift because of where the bar is positioned. So I like to, again, not a lot of weight is needed. The bar is between 15 and 20 pounds at most. Mm-hmm. Companies or most gyms that have them, and I set it low. I put my feet real wide, almost probably the width of the, maybe a little bit closer than the width of it. It depends on how tall you are and how long your legs are. You'll find your comfort spot. Toes are slightly out in a V, so it'd be toes turned out. So right now, even before I move, I'm in extreme external rotation of the hips. So as we talked about, remember before, I'm already trying to flex and get those minimus, maximus, and medius all working together instead of just the max. Then the hands come in between to hold the bar. Chest is up. Nothing moves. The reason why I like the Smith is because you can sit down into it and really hold on to the bar and get that 90-degree angle that you're looking for. Important things with this is not letting those knees dip in, that they stay over the ankles. So you don't want your legs to fall into each other. You want your legs to stay nice and parallel to the ground as much as possible. And that's why the Smith is really easy to do it with, because as you progress, you can obviously do them on with a regular free bar, but you don't have to get this huge motion either. You can get just the motion that you feel comfortable with down to that 90 degrees and hold on so that you can really lean back into it, meaning sit in a nice, almost like you're going to make a chair out of your body.
Right.
That's one of my favorites. And then obviously as you come up, I over-exaggerate pushing my heels into the ground and squeezing up. So think of it like this, that you're zipping up from the heels all the way to your butt.
Yeah.
And I have my silver sneakers people do this without they just use their little 5-pound weights. They get in a sumo position and they just go as low as they can. And then I push them through the heels. They love it.
So that's awesome. Do you put the weight between your legs?
Yep, so, well, the bar, good question, the bar is in front of me, leaning, like, away from it.
Okay, yep.
Your shins will be perpendicular with the bar. They'll be right in line with it. Don't, obviously, stand so close that your shins will get scuffed, unless you have something that they'll be unscuffed with, but I would, that's probably one of my favorites that I do.
I like that one.
Yeah, and you can probably, you know, you probably don't need to go much more than 25s on each side. As long as you're feeling it. And that's a good thing, kind of what Danica said too, is I notice my right butt cheek as well is kind of being like, meh, I'm kind of flexing, but not like really flexing.
Right.
And I had to like tell it to like get its shit together as well.
Yeah.
That's a good one that you can just really get the weight lower and just really focus on the movements.
Yeah. That's a good one. Another good one that I made up, but I didn't really make up, I just couldn't. Our butt blaster was down.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it's an epic machine when it's named butt blaster.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just epic. But they made it in like 19.
Yeah, it's super old.
Yeah.
At your church.
But so if you take the leg extension machine.
Yes.
And you go on it backwards. Mm-hmm. So you're facing the chair that your back should be on. You put the backrest all the way out, and then you bring your body inside so that your calf is on where your shin would be to raise up the leg extension, so your calf is on it. And then you do it single leg at a time, so you're kind of doing a kickback, but it's a different kickback because your foot isn't on it. it's your calf that's on it. So you have to elevate the weight with your glutes, and your hamstrings are actually very much involved in this one too. But I like this one because of the position of it. And I will do, and I like being able to do single leg. You cannot clearly do it with both legs unless you are fancy. But then also at the top, I like to have my clients pulse. So those are like 10 repetitions, and then hold it at the top and then pulse up. Of a machine in the wrong way, but you can also mimic this in other ways too if you really wanted to. So just that kickback motion in general is a good one, as long as you are activating those glutes through the kickback motion. People just kind of throw their leg back and think it's working. It's not, if you're just throwing it. And it doesn't have to be a really big motion. I remember the very first glute exercise that I ever learned, I have to stand up. No one can see me.
I guess we could like record this and I could put it on our...
I should record something. But standing just like feet together, rotate one foot out, and then kick back.
Yep.
So external rotation on one, and then you're just kicking back, and it doesn't have to go back. I remember this is the very first one, and it was just a small motion. That was one of the first ones I've ever learned.
That's what I actually have my silver sinkers do too for balance in their balance part. And that's exactly the same idea. And one of the things that's important, I don't want you guys to miss what she said, she externally rotated. So think of it, instead of her foot, her toe straight down and her heel behind it, she put her toe out at an angle so that her foot is now at a diagonal instead of straight up and down.
Right.
So, but it's not just from her foot and ankle. You got to do it from your hip. So let's talk a little safety stuff real quick. So, safety thing. As time goes on, there's different practices, there's different things. Some people say don't go below 90, some people say go below 90, some people say don't do squats at all. I think, to be honest, there's so much studies that I think the best way to say it is, do you boo-boo? Do you boo-boo. As long as there's no pain in your knees, ankles, or hips. So as long as, and also in your posture. So not rounding your shoulders when you have the bar on you, keeping a nice upper body. So a lot of the things that you saw recently is females squatting a shit ton of weight. But make sure that you're not getting forward flexion of your spine when you're squatting either. You want to keep it just controlled. I don't want to say rigid. I don't want to say braced or draw in. Those are all terms that some people get pissed about when you use. Just a strong core. And sometimes we just don't have a strong enough flat upper body to hold the weight up there. So ditch your pride and, like Danica said, go with less movement. And another thing that we both have been saying here is that less weight, you don't need to push the weight as much as your ego thinks you need to, or you might be stressed too.
Right. That's such an important thing because I definitely have a big booty for a little white girl, but Aaron's laughing in the background. I got a big old booty. But a lot of people used to say, oh my God, how much do you squat? Surprise, surprise. Homegirl does not squat a lot at all.
I don't squat a lot either.
Not at all. But you better believe that my squats have really good form. Mm-hmm. Because I don't give a fuck how much I squat if I don't have good form.
Right.
So I don't care how much you squat. When you are putting all muscles into the motion and you're just trying to get it up just for somebody to say, good job, that's a great PR you got there, like, that doesn't really rile me up that much. I think that quality over, you can say quantity, but you can, over how much you're putting on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's more important and people should really recognize that. If your goal, though, is to work up to a really good squat, like, weight, then for yourself, I think that it's awesome to get instructed. We just went through some training where some of my staff members kind of, each of them have their own specialties, and two of my trainers are really, really good at squatting and deadlifting. Mm-hmm. So I had them kind of show us what are some cues that you give to your clients and show us form and technique. And I learned a lot through it. And even with themselves, they will drop the weight down. If like something's off that day, they'll drop the weight down to make sure that it's still an efficient workout and they're not just going through the motion.
Yeah, that's important. Because you can go through the motions, but you're never going to get results.
Exactly.
You kind of hit it with the deadlift too. I was going to say a lot of people are scared to do deadlifts. Just start with something light. And remember, right, it's a hinge motion where your hips go back. One of the ways I teach people is have them stand a little bit farther away from a wall with their back to the wall and just have them work on pushing their butt to the wall so that they get that their butt's coming back and it's not their back that's rounding to get them down to the ground. It's not really a bow either, because a bow would people think right away is that they curve their spine. So that hinge motion is the most important thing. You can almost think of, there's like a Kylie Jenner, I think it's Kylie Jenner. She's like in this model pose.
Okay.
Where she's like supposedly like a life doll and her legs are straight out and her arms are straight out. She's like, and like, oh, that's a perfect like form for deadlift to be put her on her feet. I don't know if she has heels on, but anyway. But any other tips you have?
Don't be afraid to ask. If you notice that somebody is doing an exercise, don't be afraid to ask. And I think try new things as long as you're safe and smart about it too. And just be mindful, there are always like trainers available to ask about, like, hey, can you look at my form?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always a good thing when people just, you know, ask for another eye to look at them. Put your fucking ego to the side when it goes to this and do the small movements, because just like when we say small changes yield big results, it's really small movements create big results and will help you to get those bigger movements together and be able to have those bigger movements work for your body. But it doesn't just happen overnight. Like, you have to do those small movements too. Another really quick tip is always to make sure of your posture throughout your whole entire day. And then if you're going to have like a leg day. So I think that it's really good for my clients to kind of, like, were they sitting all day? Were they driving all day? Were you on your feet all day? Like, what kind of shoes were you wearing all day? Those are all important things to kind of look at, because your hips might be off, or we may need to loosen up a few things before we get into squatting or before we get into deadlifting too.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt has done this before where he's like drove for hours upon hours in a car with like a belt on. And so he has his like work belt on that's probably 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And then he goes and tries to do some deadlifts. And he wonders why his back was killing him the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's think that one through, my love.
Yeah.
But just be mindful of like your daily activity too, and how they play a role in your workout and how effective your workout is.
One of my favorite things to do with my, I always have my clients warm up on a treadmill for 5 minutes before they start with me. Two reasons. One, to kind of get them out of what they were doing before. So like, okay, leave your life at the door. Let's get on a treadmill. And in those 5 minutes, I'm able to communicate with them and see their pattern, see their demeanor, and see how their life's going.
Yeah.
Even if they don't say it, I can see it.
Right.
So I get to see it and also get them just moving a little bit and get their body quote unquote warm. But one of the things, if you're having any problems with your hips or anything, I have people slow it down, bring the incline up to a 5 and have them walk backwards. So the speed is really slow, and that will really help you to open up your hip flexors. So if you have tight hip flexors and you're not able to get the full range of motions, that walking slow and really let your foot press out. So as you're walking backwards, slow speed, it does not have to be more than like 1.4. You're really just going to focus on pressing the heel out when it comes out. So pushing, like just laying your foot down and like a snake, like kind of ravels or something. Kind of, I guess, the easiest way to say that. So toe goes down, midfoot, and then heel. So toe, midfoot, heel. Toe, midfoot, heel. Very important to just make, it just helps to feel it stretch a lot. And it's one of my favorite things to do too, because when I get into prep a lot, my hips end up getting a little tight. But so one of the things that I think that would be great would be to get our Facebook page up and going a little bit more is creating a personal part of that Facebook page. So our own little forum for our fans. If you want to join our Facebook page or put a forum up where we can check your form if you have questions, and we can have anyone who is on there that has a certification, they can also check your form, or we can just be there to support each other. So I know Danica has a posing one for your clients, but I was thinking for our podcast, it's a great place to have conversations for our clients. So we've been wondering kind of what we're going to do with our Facebook. Is it just an extension of the Instagram? So this is just something I've seen done in other things
that
I think would be great. And, you know, don't be shy about posting. And if someone's an asshole, don't worry, we'll take care of them. But most of the people that are going to probably post won't be assholes.
We got you covered.
Yes. If you have any other questions or things that you'd like to put in there, we'll do that too. So it'll be we're going to change our page to you have to be accepted to actually get into our page. So.
Yeah. Awesome. I like that.
Yeah. And it'll just be our fans for sure. And not creepers. Not like just some creepers that are just creepers. So they want to be creepers. They can listen to our voice and imagine all that stuff.
And imagine.
Because especially since we tag it butt stuff. We might not use that hashtag. that might be a bad thing.
Butt stuff would probably be a bad hashtag.
Yeah. Anything else you want to put it for today?
No, I think that was a good little segment on the booty.
Yeah, booty racking everywhere. So what is one thing that you're thankful for today?
I am thankful for... I'm thankful for Essex Pediatrics because at any time when I have like a worry, I can just call and they get straight in, which I think is so cool for, because you know how busy doctor's offices are.
Right.
And for ourselves, which I find a little fucked up, but I guess as like an adult, it doesn't really matter, but when you're a baby, they're on call 24/7. Ravenna had like a little cough that was bothering me and some phlegmy mucus breathing stuff, and I called this morning and they said we have an opening at 11:40. See you then.
Aww,
I know, and I was like, thank you so much. Yeah. Like, yeah, anytime. We're always, and they are open 24/7. They have someone on call and they stay open at 7 p.m. on, and then on the weekends they have somebody there too. Awesome. So that you can save a trip to the emergency room.
Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that cool? I found that.
Is she feeling better?
We got an antibiotic, and we're going to start that. She had a little fluid in her ears, and they think it's a little bit of, like, a sinus infection. And just, she doesn't have that strong cough yet to cough that crap up, so we're going to help it through. She'll be okay, though.
Yes.
Yeah. What is yours?
So I posted this the other day. My new, it's a BCAAs plus, I would call it. It's actually Doug Miller's Core Nutrition. Yeah. It's A, B, C, D. So I normally don't do well with beta-alanine.
You usually like EAAs.
Yeah, EAAs, BCAAs, any of the above. Like, but this A, B, C, D that they have for their company, it's a new for their company. It has BCAAs in it. It also has pre-workout in it. I'm trying to read the rest of it too, but it's got a bunch of great stuff that surprisingly has caffeine in it. Duh, of course. I'm like, hit the vein. So I normally would have like a cup of coffee and an EEA, but this doesn't make me feel jittery. I feel great. I feel like I have good strength in the gym during my workout. When I have it, the taste is pretty good. I mean, it's kind of like a, you know, pre-workout, kind of the normal workout stuff that we take. But I really liked it, and I'm glad I got it, because I almost didn't get it.
And how is it with breastfeeding?
Good. So I try not to, I don't feed her around it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in case she has an issue. But no problem as of yet.
So with it's supply, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the supply is still good. So
she's fine, too. Yeah. I always, when I was breastfeeding, I was always nervous about that, because...
Yeah, if I'm not with her... I pump before I work out, and then I take it then, and then I don't end up feeding her until, because she's only eating roughly 3 to 4 times, so she'll eat at 2 a.m. almost every time.
Jesus.
Yeah, around 6 a.m. or a little bit before, depends if I have a client, and then she eats again at 11 if I'm home. And if I'm home, I don't work out until after that feeding. And then she'll eat again roughly at 4 on me, or she'll eat at like 7. So.
Yeah. You worked it out.
Yeah. So it's all coming together. Obviously, it's not easy. It's just like, what peg will fit here now? Okay, check. Let's fit this peg. Right. Okay, check. So.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah. Well, we will put a little bow on this one for today again. And if you have any questions, let us know. We will be setting up the Facebook page now for that. And it'll be free to all of our members. So you'll just have to not be a creep. So that's your payment. Don't be a creep. You can have lesbian tendencies if you like Danica said, but just don't be like super creep. So you can reach us at championchat360@gmail.com, Instagram at championchat360, and Facebook at championchat360. So I hope you guys have a great day. Talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.